All righty, I see it. All right, it's going to be verse number 13. All right, Exodus 33, verse number 13. He says, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way." There's so much in this chapter right here. I literally, every it's hard not to stop on everything. I mean, you think about it. Have you found grace? I found it.
Yeah.
Amazing grace is what I've found. And guess what? You know one thing, after you found the grace, you know what we need to say? Show me now thy way. Not my way, thy way.
Yeah, right, right.
See, Moses, you wonder why Moses was so used of God. You think about some of these things he's saying. You study his conversation with God, and that's a good conversation to have with God. Say, now, Lord, I found grace. I see that. And the more grace you find, the more you want to find. I'm finding grace every day. Sometimes I get to looking and you get to thinking about it, and I tell you something, I've been listening now, I don't know how long, but for a long time. I try my best to listen to Romans 12 every day and 1 Thessalonians 5. I go through my little checklist. I fall so far short of that. I just look again and say, Lord, thank you for grace.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, because I would love as a pastor to be able to stand up here and say, I got that down. get it right. No, you know what I do? I say, look, I'm preaching from the standpoint of grace, and the more I look into that Word of God, and the more you get to looking, you know, it's amazing how, like, right now, there's lights. I don't know how many lights in here, but a good bit of light.
Amen.
But if you were to build a sunny day, and you were to open one of those windows or that door come through, and that's the rays of that sunlight come through, and you'd be able to see those little dust particles. You ever looked and said, "That's all that dust is in this room right now. It's all of you can't see it under this light. It takes a larger light to see all that." Now you know what happens. The more you get in that Bible, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. You get to look and you see more particles and more particles and more particles in your life, and you say, Lord, I fall so far short of the glory of God. Not only have I sinned, but come short of the glory of God. And you say, Lord, thank you for grace. Now show me that way. That's what Moses, he's getting closer, and he's saying, now I found some grace. I want some more grace, and show me thy way. And that's what we need to do. He says, that I may know thee. Now look, show me thy way that I can prosper. Not show me thy way that I can have my best life. Not show me that way that I even get my prayers answered or anything else. It's a wonderful thing if you get your prayer answered. But he says in the text, show me thy way that I may know thee. Do you know the best thing can happen is you know God more?
Amen.
Your knowledge of God abound, Paul says, more and more in the knowledge and in the grace of the Savior. Our whole thing is not necessarily, all right, God. Now, of course, we want to be holy. We want to live like the Lord. But that's not my goal. My goal is to know God more. And as you get to know God more, He'll root up and plow and get the things out of there as He sees fit on His way. I may say, well, I've got this problem with this. And the Lord says, yeah, I know you think that's the big problem, but you don't know this is the problem. You ever taken your car to a mechanic and you say, I think I've got this issue going on here. My brakes are squeaking. He said, no, you got a deeper problem than your brakes squeaking. You need to change your rotors. See, the mechanic has to look at it and see they can find something deeper. Oftentimes we get to thinking, Lord, I need you to help me with this sin or this other and this other. And the Lord's like, that's not even the issue there. You're doing that because you've got a whole different deal going on. You need to get that fixed and then the other get fixed.
That's right. Yeah.
That's why you need to know the Lord more than just trying to find out, okay, I'm going to be His buddy so I can get all this stuff out of here and not get all my troubles out of the way. That's not why we know the Lord. You know the Lord because you love Him and you want to know Him. That way, if you do have an issue, at least He can get you through the issue.
That's right.
Because you know what's going to happen? If I prayed and I said, God, All right, get me through this issue. You know what's going to happen? I'll get through that issue and another issue is going to take its place.
That's right.
But if you know God, if you know Him, no matter what issue you come to, He's going to help you through it. And you know, hey, He's been through this. He's got me through this other thing. And now I know Him well enough to know He's not going to leave me nor forsake me. When you get to know Him, you trust Him more. You find that grace. He says, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. See, grace upon grace. Grace, guess what? Grace may abound. You know what grace does? It just abounds and it abounds and abounds. He says, and consider that this nation is thy people. Now, Israel is God's. Now, before I get into this other thing, just for just a second, I want you to know something. It's a proven fact that can be proven in court. All kind of documentation. Any nation that messes with Israel very long,
yeah.
Bad things happen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now that's a proven fact. There's been so much documentation on that. It's a proven fact. That's God's people. He isn't, people say, well, He's done with them for right now. He's put them on hold, but that's still His people.
Right.
You read through the Bible there, and God would be so called mad at them. And He said, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in. Guess what's going to happen? He's going to punish you, and I'm going to punish him for punishing you.
Yeah.
You have to be real careful with that nation. Now, I'm going to say this, though, about that nation. I think a gnat flew in my eyes. Y'all forgive me. He said this, that this nation is thy people. You know whose nation this is right here? The nation here, we say, well, this is our nation or whatever. Well, the earth is God's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Just living on borrowed land.
Right.
All right, so if it's God's, if the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and we're doing things on His land that He doesn't like, guess who can say, all right, I'm putting up a no trespassing sign.
That's right.
Now, you take this thing right now and you talk to some of these people about this abortion issue and stuff like that, it's sickening.
Yes.
You know what's wrong with our nation? Sin.
Hey.
You take a nation of people that don't think no more about a little baby than just to cast it out. That's a deep seated issue right there.
Yes. Yes.
So you know what the issue is? The nations need to get back to God.
Amen.
They need God. I mean, it's so simple. People stumble over it. You got people and they'll put commentary out on what's wrong. With the what's wrong with this, and a list of stuff. Okay, let's back it all the way up. I can go all the way back there, and I can fix it in three little letters: S-I-N. You know what the problem is? People love sin, and you know what sin does? Brings death. Sin will kill a nation. Sin will kill a family. Sin will kill a relationship, and sin will kill a life.
Amen.
That's what it does. And so, you know what he's saying? He's saying, I realize this is thy nation, this is thy people. Now you know what fixes the issue? Watch this verse. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Rest. You know what the presence of God brings? Rest. You know what the Bible says over in Isaiah? The wicked are like the troubled sea. You know what it says? They have no rest.
That's right.
You know what the issue is about this world? Hurry up, hurry up. Now look, before I say this, I hope anybody I've done any jobs for don't take this the wrong way. But I've got to give this for an illustration. Somebody bring you something, you say, when do you need it done? Needed it done yesterday.
Yeah.
I need it done now. And you know what? Everybody's in a hurry but God.
He's not in a hurry.
You know what God says? God says, take a little time out and pray.
Amen.
Yeah, but I got all this stuff going on, Lord. It's like, look, in 100 years, it's not going to matter how many drugs you father.
That's right.
In 100 years, you know what's going to matter? Did you take time out of that busy schedule and pray for your church folks?
That's right.
Did you take time out of all that stuff you had going on and get down here and ask me what I thought about the situation? You know why so many people don't have rest? Because they're not getting in the presence of God.
Yeah, that's right.
If they get in the presence of God a little while, it changed their whole demeanor. Why? Moses got in the presence of God and he got such glory about him that he had to put a veil on his face. Now, don't tell me that your face don't, you know, we used to sing, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands if you're happy and you know it. Your face will surely show it.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something about being in the presence of God. It comes off on you. Now look, like I said, I'm learning now. You can get some rough emails over stuff if you put sermons online if you don't say it right. I enjoy Mexican food. And that's rough on my stomach a lot of time. I had to take me my pills. But I'm going to say this. I enjoy some good Mexican food. But you go in there and you sit down and you go and like if I went and ate Mexican and I didn't go with Brother Tommy, I'd be around Brother Tommy. Brother Tommy said, you've been down at a Mexican restaurant. You know why? Because I was in the presence of that food being cooked. And I stayed there long enough that smell of the cooked food got onto my clothing.
Yeah.
Now, you know what happens? If people would stay in the presence of God a little longer than in the presence of so much other stuff, it would come off on you some.
Yeah.
Well, what the issue is people don't see the attack of the devil. What is all this stuff going on? All that, yeah, you know what it all is? It boils down to this. How, the devil's saying, how can I get Christians away from the presence of God? Well, because if he can't have your soul, he wants your state, he wants your relationship. If he can get you so busy going and going again, because all of us have to. You got to do that. You got bills to pay. God knows that. But will you, that has to do with the sacrifice, and I may preach my sermon Sunday now, but it has to do with you saying, okay, I know I've got all this stuff going on. I know I sin. Yes, sir, I do all that stuff. Yeah. But can you take time out of all that stuff and give God some of that time? Can you take out and say, you know what, Lord, I know I'm busy, but I'm not so busy. You created the universe and you want to have something to do with me. You gave me eternal life and you want to have something to do with me. I think I can take a little time out. I think I can get up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you. And you can figure out some stuff. I'll tell you something. You try it. You will put yourself in a good mood. And I'm just telling you how to get in a good mood if you want to get in a good mood. Instead of complaining, don't get up and do your prayer list and say, man, I this person, I know they got this other. Start your prayer off saying, Lord, I just want to thank you, first of all, for my salvation again. I'm just as saved this morning as I was yesterday morning. Even though I was probably worse this morning than I was yesterday. Lord, I just want to let you know that I appreciate having a Bible where I can read and figure out what I need to figure out what to do. Lord, I've got another day where I can put my left foot in front of the right. And you start saying that stuff and just thanking Him for a little thing. And I'll tell you something. All the other stuff just seems so minute. So petty and so small that we got to realize this too. We've got a thing now called television. And for years, people didn't have it. For years, people went to work, and we didn't have cell phones and stuff, and we didn't know what all was going on over yonder.
Right.
Now, we can get on there, and guess what? We forget this. It's their job. They get paid money, big money, to keep you interested. They get paid big money to keep you fired up. Man, you're not going to believe this case that's going on. This is a earth shaker. Stop for just a second. We need to make sure that you've got this important announcement here. And we're selling for $19.95. You can get now back to the case. You see what I mean? What I'm saying is, yes, there's important things going on. I understand that. But we're so privy to so much information, we forget that the devil was sitting under the tree of knowledge. He wants to fill you with so much useless stuff that I can't do anything about. I forget, hey, I know what I can do. I can get up and I can pray for Brother Mike, and I can pray for Brother Thomas, Sister Judy, Mom and Dad, Sister London, Brother Carrie, Sister Johnny. I on and on and up, all of you. Just pray for. That's what I can do. You know what I can do? I can get in the presence of God and say, I got a sister that needs some help.
Amen.
Lord, my children have come up in this old crazy world. Protect their mind. I can do that. Get in His presence a little while.
Yeah.
And you know what He says? I'll give thee rest. And all of a sudden you start resting and saying, you know what? If He can hold the world by the word of His power, I think I can just trust Him with it.
That's right.
Why? Because look, at the very best, I'm talking about if I take good care of my health and I keep drinking that apple cider vinegar and I keep taking vitamins and whatever, I might live another 60 years. I'm just going to 70. You know what I mean? I don't know, maybe I live a little bit over 100. But y'all, that's still not very long.
No.
So you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to rest in the fact that God can take care of it when I'm gone.
That's right.
Now, do you know what it's going to take to actually trust that? Getting in His presence.
That's right.
Moses is getting in His presence. You know what Moses is going to do? He's going to find some things out that's above and beyond his wildest imagination. Because he took time out to get in His presence. Don't think there wasn't a whole lot going on. He's done led probably a million people out there in the wilderness. Don't you know they were saying, Moses, I got some issues over here. So and so's fighting in that tent over there, and they got that. You wouldn't believe what was going on right down the hill down there, especially after the gold calf incident. I guarantee you, he was in high demand. And he said, I'm going to take some time out and get in the presence of God. You know what we're going to have to do? Take some time out and get some rest.
Yeah.
From Him. He says, verse 15, He said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. There's your good attitude. I don't want to go if God don't go.
Yeah. Right.
You know what Gideon said over there? You can read about Gideon and Judges. And the Lord said, Gideon, if you're scared, take Phurah with you. Phurah is only mentioned twice in the Bible. Gideon evidently is a pretty good friend. Gideon didn't want to go to war without fear, and God knew it. I've had places before, and especially whenever you're younger, you'll get a buddy and you say, I'm not going unless so-and-so's gone. Why? Because you liked being around them. Moses knew that their success in doing well was based on whether God went with them or not. Because you know what he's saying? If God don't go, it ain't worth going.
That's right.
Do you know what I realize? If before I stand up here and talk about the Bible with you, say, Lord, if you don't go, it's not worth going. Lord, if you're not going to be with our church, it's nothing but a building. It's nothing but a social club. Nothing but a gathering. But if the presence of God is there, it taps into something completely different, and you can get victory over things from in a supernatural way with God just blessing it.
Yeah.
We've got to get to that place right there if we're going to do something and say, Lord, Moses wasn't perfect. None of us are. I emphasize that because I'm becoming increasingly aware the older I get that if God don't do it, it's really not worth doing. And it's very humbling because you try to do things and you just fail and try to fail. And then whenever you stop trying to say, Lord, it's yours, the Lord's like, and you say, how did that happen? The Lord's like, well, I've been trying to tell you I could do it, but I couldn't let you do it because you would try to take glory and say, well, I did it. So that's why we have to let God do it. And Moses knew that. He says, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? You know how you can find grace that you need? When God goes with you.
Yes.
That's how people know that you found that grace, if God is going with you. But the whole thing is, we're living in a world now, the Bible calls in Philippians 2, a crooked and perverse nation. You know what's happened? They don't have grace.
Right.
So you know what happens? The less of God that's in a place, the less grace that people have. That's why people are so at each other today about everything. Nobody agrees with anybody about anything. And look, the goalpost keeps moving everywhere you look. What's going on? No grace. Why? Because no presence.
Right.
When the presence of God comes in, grace is there. And where grace is, rest is. You know that there's a lack of God because there's no presence and there's no grace and there's no rest. It's right there in the text. It says this, "So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the world that are upon the face of the earth."
Right.
Now you know what's happening? You know what God does with His people?
Mm-hmm.
All over. He'll separate you. You know what's going on right now in the world increasingly as you get closer and closer to the Lord coming back for His church? A separation. You're seeing now a separation that's getting ready for the great separation and the tribulation. It's going to be clear. It's going to be white and dark. I mean, it's going to literally be but the separation right now is coming. You can tell more and more so now. Why? Used to people would come to church, and years ago, even an atheist really wouldn't just be open about it. They come to church and say, "Well, I believe God," you know. Now, You're getting people now, and they'll say, "That Bible's crazy. That thing's full of fairy tales. What are y'all talking about, Christians? What do you mean? This only one way to heaven? What do you mean talking about Muhammad? That guy, surely, you know, if he lived a good life, surely he was in heaven, though. Not if he didn't trust Jesus Christ. You know what's happening? There's becoming a dividing line in our world more and more. Why? You know what God does? He separates. He's starting to show you, look, it's only one way, and you're going to find out that God, over time, He gets to the place that He's going to be able to say, look, it's either up or down, heaven or hell. And people got to realize that. And Moses said, look, I know you're going to separate us, and it's coming. It's coming for us, too. One of these days, it's going to be so separated. Guess what He's going to do? He's going to snatch all his believers out. He's going to snatch His folks out of here. That's how much He's going to separate out and say, look, I'm leaving the rest of you. You can have it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wave bye-bye. I'm going to go up, and I'm telling you. Why? Because where we're headed to is so much far better beyond anything that you can imagine. Sometimes I'll go over my playlist over heaven. I've got a playlist on my phone, and you start studying heaven and types of heaven in your body. Man, before long, then you realize why Paul, whenever he got stoned over at Lystra, he just got right back up and walked right back into the city. He's up for next. Look, y'all didn't finish the job. Y'all just look. He said, "I knew it was such a one." He said, "Well, the absent body." He said, "I cannot tell." He went up there and it was wonderful. He said, "I can't even tell you about it."
Yeah.
Unspeakable word. It was so wonderful. He said, "Can't even tell you." You know why you wouldn't believe it? It's so wonderful over there. The closest thing, see, we're so close to hell. Hell is literally under your feet in the crust of the earth. So you can understand, you're closer to hell, so you can understand hellish things. But heaven's so far above, God's got to take you there. He's got to literally transport you there. And if He told you about it, you'd say, "Man, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go." And I'm telling you, the closer you get, the more you want to go. Why? Because that light just shines brighter and brighter. And you know what's happening? The Lord, with His people, He'll separate you. How does He separate? He'll take you and make you realize that this world ultimately holds nothing for you. Ultimately speaking, the comparison between here and there is so far. He'll say, "Why would you even want to stay here anyway?"
That's right.
I mean, you think about it. I want to see other people get saved. We got lost relatives we'd love to see get saved. But guess what? God gives them free will and God's giving them a choice.
That's right.
And I want to see them get saved. But I'm going to tell you something. It blesses my heart to know my family's sitting right there saved.
Amen.
Now look, I know it sounds... That may sound selfish to you. And I do. I want to see people get saved. When I'm saying that, I do. But at the same time, I'm going to be in heaven with all y'all.
Mm-hmm.
My family. I'm going to know y'all forever. We're going to be able to just sit over there. You imagine that sister just be up there and say, "Hey, let's listen to the Lord for a little while."
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be wonderful.
Amen.
I mean, you have you ever just sat there for just a little while and thought about what all the Bible says about heaven and you're going to be there? Sometimes you have to go back there. But Moses is here and he's realized he's about to be separated and he's about to see some things if I ever got to it there. Why? Because he wanted God's presence to be with him. Amongst all the other stuff going on, he said, if I don't get nothing else, I want your presence. He says in verse 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Well, there's the song we heard. He knows my, isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
He knows your name. Man, that's so humbling. He said, tell the stars if thou canst know them. He said, he's named all the stars, but he knows your name. That's a smart God right there.
Amen.
And people think they know more than God. You better think again.
Amen.
He said he knows his name. What a blessing. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now, I'm going to show you this right here. Y'all know, when I teach this, I believe, before I say this, before people strip gears, I believe that the Lord, when He says, show me thy glory, the Bible says in Hebrews 1:3 that the Lord Jesus Christ is the glory of God. Now, I believe that. But y'all know the Bible has double application too, don't you? There's all kind of double applications in the Bible. Now, either way, He's showing Him the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to show you something here. Do you know that the Bible says, look at that. The Bible says in Psalm 19 verse 1, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Okay. Now let me just go on with this before I get to this other. Do you know who made the heavens? The Lord Jesus Christ did. Okay, so he said, show me that glory. There's all kind of stuff in here.
That's right.
It says, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now, I've got to take a little side road before I tell you about this goodness. Whenever he says that in Romans 9, Paul's talking about Israel. And you get these Calvinists, and they'll say, see, he'll show mercy on who he's going to show mercy, and show gracious to who he's going to show gracious to. And they quote that verse over there. What's he talking about right here? The whole context right here is not whether he's going to save somebody. You know, I'm going to save this one, but I'm not going to save that. That's not what he's talking about. Israel right here. The whole context of the thing is Israel, just like Romans 9, Israel. It don't have nothing to do with individual salvation.
That's right.
Okay, so what's he going to do? He's going to show Moses his goodness because Moses is the leader of these people. And he needs to see the glory of God. And he's going to be a good leader. You know what? If we're going to do things for God, we need to be in God's presence. And we need to see some things from God so we can show other people what we've been shown from God. Alright? So he said, I'll make my goodness pass before thee. Alright? So we know that according to Hebrews 1:3, the Lord Jesus Christ is the glory of God. Alright? He declares the glory of God, but the heavens do. Now, he says, show me thy goodness. Let me show you something that's kind of neat here. Take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter number 1. Now, you know what the Bible says?
Amen.
Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Well, it didn't say He was a God or nothing like that. Both of them, the Word of God is just much God as God the Father is God. Just like the Holy Ghost is just much God as God the Father. All three of them are God. It's the Godhead. They were all there. So He said, I want to see your goodness. Now, I'm gonna give you something here that just to kind of chew on, and I'm not saying I'm right about everything, but I think that the Lord can show two things at once. In Genesis chapter 1, He says, show me the goodness. Look at verse number 4. When the Word of God's making everything, He said, man, I want to see some things. You know what He says? And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good. In verse number 4, he said the light was good. Alright? He says in verse number 10, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. You know what he says in verse number 12? He says, and the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Look at verse number 18. It says, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Look, 21, 25, 31, all at the bottom it says it was good. 25, it says at the bottom of the verse, and God saw that it was good. 31, it says, and God saw everything that he made. Who made it? God did. The Word of God did. The Lord Jesus Christ did. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 said he made it all. All things consist by him because he made it all. So who was saying? The Word of God was saying it was good. He says in verse 31, everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So now I will tell you something. He said, my goodness passed before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. You know who the name of the Lord is? The Bible said the name of Jesus every knee bow.
That's right.
Okay. Now watch this. All right, and look at verse number 20. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. While he dwells in light, no man can approach to, 1 Timothy says. So you know what happens? The Lord Jesus Christ hadn't been incarnated yet. The Lord Jesus Christ hadn't been born yet. So you know what you have? You have what the theologians call a theophany, but it's a pre-appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Guess who was walking in the cool of the day in Genesis? Well, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's God. It was our Lord walking with. So you know what I believe? I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to show you that. He said, in verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock by me. Who's at the right hand of the Father?
Jesus.
Who's that rock? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
All right, you look at this. It says, because y'all know 1 Corinthians 10:4 says that rock was Christ. And it said, it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee, he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. In the cleft of the rock. You know what a cleft comes from? That rock has been split some kind of way. A lot of time through erosion or sometimes an earthquake or something, a bad thing happens. And the cleft of the rock, he's going to hide you.
Amen.
You imagine being hid there, and he said, Moses, I'm going to show you. You're going to see some glory here.
That's right,
I'll show you. I'll show you one that you've never seen. I'll show you glory like you've never seen before. I'll hide you in the cleft of this rock. And guess what else he says here? It says, and cover thee with my hand while I pass by. You know what he said over in Exodus 12? He said, yeah, you better have the blood while I pass by.
Right.
Verse 13. You know what he said right here? When I pass by, you better be in the cleft of the rock. And not only am I going to put you in the cleft of the rock, picture the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to hide you with my hand. You talking about security.
Yeah.
He's secure. You know what I believe he did? You talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. He told you, Jesus is the revelation. You want to get some reveal? You want to get something, Moses? I'll tell you what I do. I believe he done this. I believe he said, Moses, you want to see some goodness. I'll take you back just like he took John forward and showed him the revelation and showed him what's going to go on in the tribulation and showed him what's going to go on out in eternity. And John saw that stuff. He said, even so, come Lord Jesus. You know what I believe he did with Moses? You want to see something awesome? You need to write Genesis anyway, Moses. I'm going to have you write that. And you need to know what's going to go on all the way back there. I'm going to show you my goodness. And he takes him back there and he says, watch the Word of God. I'm going to hide you in the cleft of this rock. Watch the Word of God create it all and watch him say it's good. Watch the Word of God. Well, if you want to see goodness, if you want to see glory, watch him bring it to pass. Watch him just start it. Watch him create a star. Watch him create the earth. Watch him say, I created this and it was good.
Amen.
If you want to see some glory, Moses, I'll give you more than you can handle. Now, you think that's wonderful. You say, well, it would be wonderful to see something like that. Well, guess what you're going to one day?
Amen.
You're talking about heaven. You're talking about glory. You're talking about wonderful. You imagine coming back with the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. At the end, the devil comes up, he's loosing for a little season, and the Lord brings fire down, destroys him right after that. You see with your own eyes the great white throne judgment. Then, guess what you do? You see him create a new heaven and a new earth. And you know what he's going to say? It's very good. It's very good. You're going to see His goodness all over. You're going to see all that stuff and more.
That's right.
So you know what you got to look forward to? Grace. Mercy. Goodness. Glory. Is that worth serving right there? That's a God worth praising right there. What a wonderful Savior. Let's close out.